seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 12 and the second verse. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. This chapter follows on really from the previous chapter, where the Holy Spirit wonderfully records through Isaiah of the glorious birth and coming of the Lord Jesus. And this follows on with this beautiful song. He says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee." You see, it was a day that the prophet and many in his day looked forward to, the glorious coming of Christ into this earth. And he says, in that day, thou shalt say. The day the Lord had made. You know, there are some precious days throughout Holy Writ and throughout the ages which the Lord has made. And this was a day which the prophet, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so looked forward to. And in that day, he says, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. And then, of course, there are the days in the experiences of the Lord's people when this will blessedly be so. A day which the Lord has made. We think, first of all, of the day when we are born again, quickened by the Holy Spirit to desire heavenly things. I will praise thee. But then, of course, there are the days of deliverance, the days when the Lord will reveal himself to his dear people, the day when he forgives all our sins. And he says, concerning that day, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. You know, because of our sin, we ever deserve the anger and wrath of God, don't we? But oh, what a mercy it is. The Lord does not deal with his people according to their sins or reward them according to their iniquities. But he is a God of love and compassion and forgives black, vile sinners and comforts them. But I want us help to look a little at this second verse. He begins it by that sacred word, behold. This is what the Lord was going to do and to speak to his dear people. On the day, of course, of the glorious birth of the Lord Jesus, it was a day when they were to behold wondrous things, weren't they? His glorious coming, the shepherds were to behold it. Dear Mary, the mother of Christ, was. The wise men were, so were Simeon and Anna and others. So he says, behold, God is my salvation. What the dear prophet was declaring here was this. Through the coming of Christ would be salvation to sinners. We read, don't we? Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. But one would bring it home to each of us. First in the desire. Do we desire to be able to say, God is my salvation? So a blessed desire is not the desire of the world, is it? It's not the desire of just professors of religion, but it's the desire of a real child of God. God is my salvation. But then there's the other side, the wonderful assurance there is in this word, and the dear prophet knew it in his own heart. And may we each, God is my salvation. So have we the desire to sweetly experience this as we seek to come low to the longing, trembling sinner, or to those that the Lord has sweetly assured that they're his children? And they can truly say from their hearts, God is my salvation. You see, there's no other way of salvation, really. This 12th chapter of Isaiah is a continuance of the 15th chapter of Exodus, when the Lord had delivered the children of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh and all his house in the Red Sea. And you'll find the language in the book of Exodus chapter 15 is the same language as what is found in our text. They had proved salvation is of the Lord. You look at those wonderful characters in the Word of God. You go to the Red Sea, first of all. What did the Lord say to Moses to speak to the children of Israel? Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. The only hope of salvation the children of Israel had, the only hope that a poor trembling sinner in 2014 will have, will be in their God. God is my salvation. You know, if we are to ever get to heaven, it will be through the wondrous work of salvation wrought out by the dear Lord Jesus in coming into this earth and suffering, bleeding, dying and rising again on the resurrection morn. But then you think of Jonah. You know, the dear man had to come to the place like the children of Israel did, where there was no salvation in himself or in any man. The only hope of salvation was in his God. And in that fish's belly, as we each well know, he had to cry out, didn't he, and to beg of the Lord to manifest his salvation. Out of the belly of hell, he says, cried I. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. And in looking to a precious Christ, he was looking to one that could save him, that manifests salvation to him. And you look at what he said, salvation is of the Lord. And the same language is found in our text, God is my salvation. Just stepping back to the desire that's found in our text, that God is my salvation. What did the psalmist pray? And it's a good prayer, you know, really, we need to pray it every day. He said this, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And it's only the Lord that can say that to us. You know, man may say, well, we'll deliver you from this trouble or that trouble, but they can't deliver your soul eternally, can they? It's only God, being our salvation, can deliver us eternally, manifest salvation to us. And you think of that beautiful word, this day is salvation come to thy house. Oh, may the Lord whisper that to each of our souls this morning. This day is salvation come to this house. And when we think of this house, not only the house where they dwelt, where the Lord said it, but we think of our own hearts, the house within us. Oh, what a happy soul you'd be today, wouldn't you, if the Lord said, today is salvation come to this house, this day. But what directed me to this text was the next two clauses. In trying to pray yesterday, the Lord had given me a word to bring before you, thinking of those that have things before them this week among us. I tried to pray, the Lord had given me a word to speak. And the Lord dropped this word in, I will trust and not be afraid. Oh, you think what a beautiful word it is, isn't it? Those of you concerned about the future, those that may have great things before you this week or in the days to come, I will trust and not be afraid. And may the Holy Spirit so whisper that word into your soul and mine. I will trust and not be afraid. Well, may the Lord help me just to open it up a little. First, I will trust. For us to trust, we need faith. And the only place the dear prophet and the Lord's people in his day could trust was in their God. You think, just stepping back to the two cases I've just named, of the children of Israel at the Red Sea and of Jonah, they both had to come to the place where they could not trust in themselves. All their trust in self was vain. It was ill-grounded. It had never lasted. The word of God makes it very clear, doesn't it? Trust not in a friend, put not thy confidence in a guide. But where does the sinner have to trust? In their God. And that's where the children of Israel at the Red Sea had to come. The only place they could trust was in their God, that he would deliver them. And they needed faith to do that, didn't they? And the same with Jonah. You know, all his trust of deliverance and of salvation was in his God. Neither is there salvation in any other, but in the Lord. So he says here, I will trust. That is venturing faith, venturing upon the Lord, you see, I will trust. I will trust in his great salvation. I will trust in his righteousness. I will trust in his precious blood. I will trust in him who is a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. I will trust in him to deliver me, to hold me up, to hold me on. We find in the Psalms that sacred word of exhortation given by the Holy Spirit. Trust in him at all times, ye people. What an exhortation, isn't it, to us? You think how many times we're doubting his power, his ability to save. Trust in him at all times. Not sometimes, or just when you're in trouble, or when you think you should. At all times, ye people. It's a good word of exhortation, and I preach it to myself. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us, sealer. And then we think too of that sacred word, and I tried to preach from it at Brighton just recently. In the second psalm where he exhorts his people this, he says this, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Blessed are all they. They're blessed characters, precious characters that put their trust in him. So may this be a word in season. You think as you look at the future, you look at the unknown why, you look at what's before you in afflictions, in trials, the things of providence, the things of grace, I will trust. Really, to put it simply, it's a venturing upon the Lord. Venture on him, venture wholly. And the soul, you see, that ventures upon the Lord, puts all their trust in him to appear for them. He will not leave them nor forsake them. So trust in him, poor soul. I will trust. And then he says, and this is what so seemed to rest sweetly upon me, and not be afraid. So often, you know, we're afraid, aren't we? Oh, we are. And I want to speak as help this morning to the soul that may come up this morning. You're afraid. You're afraid. And the Lord knows how much and how many of his dear people are afraid. And the things they're afraid in. You know, a real exercise child of God is afraid of sin and afraid of sinning. They're so concerned. Lord, take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. And you're afraid, aren't you, of Satan? With his great power and his mighty temptations. And you're afraid of this world lest you should be drawn away by it. In your thoughts, in your life, in your pathway. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Save me from this bewitching world that has to death 10,000 hurled. But here's the sweet answer and antidote to all those that are afraid. And there may be those of you afraid in things that are just known to you and known to the Lord. You're afraid of presuming. You're afraid of yourself. You're afraid of the afflictions. You're afraid of the troubles. I will trust and not be afraid. Well, you may have wondered why we read together those two portions in God's Word this morning. Well, really, both of them are on this clause. And that's why they seem to rest upon me to read them together. The first we think of dear Jeremiah. You remember how the Lord had anointed him and formed him in the womb to be a prophet among the nations. You think, it's wonderful, you know. You think when a dear babe is born, you know, the Lord knows what purpose he has in bringing that babe into the earth. And that is very searching and very solemn, you know. And yet it's very blessed. It's very searching and very solemn because there will be those that will be born, which are born to have their fill of this earth, and they're born to eternal damnation. You think how solemn. Makes us tremble, really, doesn't it, to think of it. But there are those that are born like Jeremiah. He was formed in the womb by the Lord and ordained by the Lord to be born into this earth to be a prophet among the nations. What a wonderful thing to be born for this purpose, to serve the Lord, to serve Him, and to live to Him and to His honour and to His glory. And you see, every babe that's born has a never-dying soul, and that soul will either live in eternal bliss in heaven forever, or it'll be born and live through this earth and spend eternity in hell serving Satan with all the hellish crew. That's how solemn and searching it is. But now think of Jeremiah. What a blessed thing that such a man as he should be born into this earth. And oh, as we read, didn't we? The Lord conveyed so beautifully that to him when he was so concerned about God's commandment to go and to prophesy unto the nations. And I'll just read to you what the Lord said. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. This is what the Lord said. Oh, may each of the precious babes born among us and that prove to be vessels of mercy like dear Jeremiah was. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child, And you know, so many of the Lord's dear children feel like that. Those that maybe exercise concerning following the Lord and obeying his commandments, Lord, but I cannot speak. I remember when I was first concerned and exercised about joining the church, I said, Lord, I can't speak. It used to so trouble me, anything in public at all, to begin to speak. And I used to be very troubled at class if I was asked any questions at school, how to speak and how to answer. And I said, Lord, how can I venture? But the Lord said to me, and I've told you before, when I sat in the vestry to speak to the church in 1963, the Lord spoke those words, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And you know, I proved him. He was to fill it. And I proved it over the years in the ministry. But oh, I feel even now, just like this dear prophet, I'm but a child. I cannot speak, Lord. And there may be one here like that today. And even speaking before the world, Lord, I'm but a child. I cannot speak. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And then this beautiful word that dovetails with our text, and it seemed very sweet to me when it dropped in and followed the text. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Be not afraid, Jeremiah, of their faces. Oh, may the Holy Spirit whisper that to you. In all that you may be afraid in, be not afraid of their faces. I so often say, and over the years have said it, when there have been those who ventured to follow the Lord and they've had to speak to the church of a few things the Lord has done, you're not here before judges. We're all poor sinners. And oh, may that be of comfort to some today. And we read this, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I will put my words into thy mouth. Oh, Jeremiah, be not afraid. May there be those Jeremiahs today. Be not afraid. You see, the Lord can take away all that that makes you afraid. And he can do it in a moment. Those afraid to die. Oh, may the Lord whisper this to us concerning our end. Be not afraid. Death is in the Lord's hand. He will be with thee through life. And he will be with thee through death. I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. And that's what Jeremiah had to do, didn't he? Trust in his God to touch his lips. Trust in his God to put those words in his mouth. Trust in the Lord that he would help him to prophesy before the nations. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I will trust and not be afraid. But then we think too of the second reading. Dear Jairus, you think how that dear man felt when the message came to him from the house that his daughter was dead. You see, he went to the Lord Jesus with her case. There she was, grievously ill in affliction. And Jairus went to the right place. You know, there's a wonderful lesson to us there. Where do we go when we're in the depths of trouble? Where do we go when everything is upon us and we feel we're being crushed by it all? And you see, it weighed him so much down, but Jairus went to the right place. He went to the Lord Jesus. Took her case to him. Poor soul, you take your case to the dear Redeemer. No better place could you take it, and Jairus was to prove it. But as he takes it to the Lord Jesus, he takes it because he was trusting in the Lord to heal her and to restore her. But you know, faith has to be proved. Faith has to be tried. And if you got a grain, an eye of living faith, that faith will have to be proved. And Jairus had to prove, his faith had to be proved. And he leaves his dear daughter in the hands of the Saviour. But then the message came that she was dead. Trouble not the Master, thy daughter is dead. Oh, how this would sink the dear man lower. You know, his faith was being put to the test, wasn't it? But in the midst of it all, I will trust and not be afraid. And what did the Lord Jesus say when he heard the message? He didn't answer like man would have said, well, you know, we are sad to hear the news and we comfort you in it. Oh no, he says, be not afraid, the Saviour says. Only believe. Be not afraid. Why hadn't Jairus got to be afraid? Why haven't you got to be afraid, child of God, this morning? Because Jairus' daughter was in the Lord's hand. Her life, her breath, everything concerned her. He committed her to the Lord. You commit your case to him and leave it all with him and trust and not be afraid. Those things that we can truly leave in the Lord's hand, we trust him to deliver, we trust him to appear, we trust him to hear and answer our prayer, and be not afraid. Why? Because it's all in his hand. You've no need to be afraid. Go back to the Red Sea. You look how Pharaoh's house, they were in the Lord's hand. Look at the sea, it was in the Lord's hand. Look at the wind, it was in the Lord's hand. Little do many in this nation realise that that wind, that sea, they... wind and the rain, the sea, and all things, you see, are in his hand. What does the hymn writer say? That gracious hand on which I live. Be not afraid. And when you can feel, and may the Lord favour us to feel it and to know it, that everything is in his hand, you've no need to be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. And you know, Jairus was to prove what the Saviour said. Because he that could raise her up from the affliction could raise her up from death. And the Saviour did, didn't he? Be not afraid. And so that is why we read those two sacred portions this morning, you see. they qualify what's in our text. I will trust and not be afraid. You look at the mountains before you, you look at the unknown way and the future and the opposition of Satan, the opposition of man, your unbelief, and you're soon afraid, aren't you? I will trust and not be afraid. Let me use one other illustration that seems to keep coming to one's mind, and that is when the disciples were in the sea, tossed with the wind and the waves. And what did Jesus do? He went to them, walking upon the sea. And when they saw him, they feared. They thought they had seen a spirit. And they were afraid. They were not just afraid of the sea, they were afraid as they viewed and they couldn't see it was he. They had seen a spirit. But what did Peter say? Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus bid him. He had to trust in the Lord to hold him up in that sea. But you know, what was really with me was what the Saviour said. When they said, is it he? It is I, he says. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. And it may be in what you're in today. It's a wonderful word, that is, isn't it? It is I. You think, I think of a dear man many years ago now was in the depths of affliction and trouble. And he was so tried and so tempted that his religion was all vain and it was only in his natural mind. And he trembled before the Lord in it all. Lord, am I really one of thy children? Is all what I'm in this affliction of thee? And the Lord spoke that word audibly from heaven to him. Be not afraid. Only believe. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. And you know, I remember him saying to me as the Lord said, it is I. Oh, the blessedness. He could see in it all the Lord's hand. It is I. It was the Lord that was bringing him right down to this place to rest in his finished work and to rest in his righteousness and to rest in his salvation. It is I. Be not afraid. And oh, may the things you're in this morning sweetly be so sanctified, the Lord say, it is I. I'm dealing with you as one of his children. My love and compassion and favour is toward thee. It is I. Be not afraid. Those things you're afraid of are all in his hands. Be not afraid. So the dear prophet, under the sweet inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says this, I will trust. I will trust. You trust in him, poor soul. He will not deceive you. You trust in him for everything, both in providence and in grace. I will trust. What it really means, in my little understanding of it and the simplicity of it, is this. You've got to rest wholly upon the Lord. I will trust. Trust in him. And not be afraid. Not be afraid. You know, when the Lord speaks this to a poor sinner, they've got to venture on him and venture wholly. We think of dear Caleb, and Joshua when they went into the land of Canaan. How did they go up? Trusting in him and not be afraid. There was all the enemies. There was all the walled cities. There were the giants. But how did they venture into that land? So different than the ten, didn't they? They ventured upon the Lord. And he didn't fail them, did he? Oh no. We read concerning both Caleb and Joshua that they followed the Lord fully. Wholly followed him. Not partly. And this soul that trusts in him will follow him fully. And they trust in him for everything. I will trust and not be afraid. Really, what the Lord is speaking here is this to the exercised child of God that's so concerned and so many things to make them afraid is you've got to rely on him for everything and leave all things in his hand. And he can sweep away all those fears you have in a moment. Oh, he can. Whatever they may be. Now, I don't know why the Lord's given me this word, but may it be a word in season to some poor, seeking, longing soul. I will trust. You've got to venture on your dear Redeemer. Sink or swim. He'll never fail you. It's falling into his hands, you see. I often say when I close my poor breathings in prayer to venture into the sermon, I venture on him, sink or swim, because I know this. If he fails me, I'm finished. And he won't fail his dear people. He won't fail these souls that are afraid. He'll come right where they are and he'll still all their fears. And he'll calm their troubled breasts like he did the dear disciples, didn't he? What did he say to them? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's what they got to do. And may it be so with us each.